I will start with four scriptures that pretty much you could get almost a baseball team out of it, because one's going to seem out of left field, one is third base somewhere. But I promise it'll make sense in the end if the rapture doesn't happen before. All right, so one of our pillars of faith, Deuteronomy 6:4, it talks about how the Lord is one. And it's very clear. You know, it says our Lord is one God. And many times in the Christian life, when we come across people of other faiths, the thing that we might find ourselves being asked about the most would be, you know, Deuteronomy 6:4 and verses to that subject. Another verse along those lines is going to be Colossians 3:17. It speaks of how we got to do everything in the name of the Lord. Everything you do at all times, it says, and whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So in our walk of faith, oneness becomes something that you could pretty much say we're confronted about. And also, you know, justifying it, you know, everything that we do is in Jesus' name, read the word, so many things. Acts 1:8, he talks now about the Spirit. And he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And something we make very familiar the Holy Ghost with is power. Because we find nothing but resistance. We are bearers of a truth that meets resistance anywhere you go. At all levels, whether it be work, whether it be people with other faiths, whether it be at home, only God knows. But we know that we need that power. We ask the Holy Ghost to give us the strength, the wisdom, and we tap into the Holy Ghost to, you know, cast out demons, pray over sicknesses, so many things, and It's once again, it's just pillars of our faith. And another one would be John 14:15. Yes. It talks about loving God. And it makes it very plain. It says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So in looking back at Israel, looking back at what happened to Israel, you find that Deuteronomy 6:4, they had it. They perhaps didn't have, you know, or they didn't have Colossians 3:17, Acts 1:8, because the Holy Ghost would come over individuals in specific moments. It wasn't a continuous dwelling for them. But it does talk about the love of God. And Deuteronomy 6:4 makes a connection with Deuteronomy 6:5. If you could pull that one up, please. And that actually makes up the whole, you know, 6:4. It's oneness, if we want to call it that way. And then, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. So it requires a love from us that, for Israel, up until then, they had not experienced. They were coming out of Egypt. Loving something more than themselves, you know, with all their heart, with all their soul, it required them to maybe ask themselves certain questions. It required them to perhaps feel uncomfortable about certain things, because the God that had just taken you out of Egypt was demanding this type of love for him. Says that with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So right after oneness, right after God saying, one thing we got to clear it out right off the bat is, I am one, and this is what I want you to know as well. This is what I demand from you. If I'm going to be your God, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And we come to now the subject of love, that it is very intertwined with the oneness message. It is very intertwined with being Pentecostal, because per se, it's a coin. You cannot be Deuteronomy 6:4 Pentecostal. It comes being Deuteronomy 6:5 as well. It has to be engraved. It has to be wrapped. Everything has to do with love, because if God takes the time to mention it so early when he was giving his commandments to his people, it's something that he wants us to be very aware of, our love for him, and where do we stand in regards to our love for him, because this is what he demands, all your soul, all your might, all your heart. The law of Moses, Israel, the 40 years in the wilderness, you got Deuteronomy, you got Leviticus, Exodus, you got so many books in the Bible, not just chapters that talk about, and these are my commandments, and this is what I want you to do. And even the priest, the high priest, the underword, this is how it's going to be. If you guys need to settle something, this is how you guys will do it. If you guys, if my people want to offer sacrifice, this is exactly how you're going to do it. And this is how the sacrifice will be. And we're going to have certain feasts from this day to this day. And so much detail that God would put into dealing with his people and what he expected. This Deuteronomy 6:5, do my commandments, and this is what I'm telling you. This is what I expect. This is the height of detail that I expect from you. In the New Testament, however, we find a scripture that sums up the law. All the things I've talked about in many chapters that talk about what God wanted as when he got his people out of Egypt. Romans 13:10. What God wanted to accomplish with all that, with, you know, do this, do that, if you don't do this, this will happen to you. He says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So many things that God, when, you know, took the time to explain, and let's put this in stones, and let's, you know, tell the scribe to write this, and so many things. To sum up the law, what God wanted to get across to Israel was love. Why you know, you're going to settle your differences. Why you should love your neighbor. It was just love. That's what God, as you come out of Egypt, God wanted love. And he waited to great extents, because when you come out of Egypt, you have many things that perhaps you think are love. Hollywood does an excellent job in confusing us into thinking what is love, what may be love. Past relationships, they shape our definition of love as we live in Egypt. Before coming to Christ, many things will shape our definition. They will take a toll in what we think love is. And we come to Christ and we embrace the whole oneness, the revelation that comes with that, the authority of the Holy Ghost that we experience through that. But at the end of the day, God's plan for Israel, it is no different than his church. Amen. Israel failed. We've been given an opportunity. And God demands nothing different from us. In Mark 12, verse 28, once again, the subject of the greatest commandment comes up. And he says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of them all? 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'" 30. "And thou shalt love the Lord with thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." And in the New Testament, because Israel did not get it, because they just thought that I'm going to do what God says, never mind where my heart is, as long as I make the sacrifice on time, as long as I pay my tithes, as long as, you know, everything in the outside looks good, I'm going to be fine. And no, they were actually, you know, put aside. Verse 31. "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's no other commandment greater than this." So we find out, let's go to 32 as well. "And the scribe said unto him, 'Well, master, thou hast said that the truth, for there's one God, and there's none other but he.'" 33. "And to love him with all thy heart, with all thy understanding, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than the whole burnt offering and sacrifices." So God pulls up Deuteronomy 6:4, Deuteronomy 6:5, and says, your love for me should translate into love for others. There's nothing greater than this. There's nothing greater than having the revelation of oneness is good, but God wants that for him to dwell in us, for him to be identified with us individually, that people can say, you know what, this life is very similar to Jesus. It starts with love. It starts with love dwelling in us. And it comes by a love that God reveals to us that takes us on a journey, and he says his love is perfected in us, which means that it doesn't start out being, you know, coming out of Egypt, maybe we always got to have the last word. Coming out of Egypt, like I said, relationships, maybe you think this is love, it's not. Maybe you start, your definition of love suddenly starts changing. And that's what God wants. With revelation, he wants to be able to come in you and not just accept the revelation, learn the verses, but where's the love for my neighbor? Because there's nothing greater than this. It's not just one. It's let me dwell in you. Let me love through you. There's nothing greater than this. Isaiah 29, verse 13. This one talks about Israel and what happened, and says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people," talking about Israel, "draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." They had it down. That's good. 13 is good. So they had it down. They honored God. They make sure they were, you know, in, like I said, in all the sacrifices, equivalent of a church service. But God was looking at the heart the whole time. God wanted to know where your heart was. When you brought that peace offering, when you brought the different types of offering to God, when you kept certain commandments, when you dressed a certain way because I asked you to, where is your heart? And that's where Israel came at fault. God does not question that they were not honoring him, at least with their lips. It was their heart. Their mind was somewhere else. The sacrifices were happening, and their mind was wandering off somewhere else. Did I leave the iron on at the house? Did I leave the stove on? But God was looking at the heart, because whether it's Israel, whether it's us, God is looking at our heart. Leviticus 19:18. And we see how God said, this is the type I love, I demand from you. This is what I want from you. For this relationship to work, for me to be your God, this is the type of love that I need from you. Leviticus 19:18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So although in the New Testament he talks about loving your neighbor, in Mark and God goes into the detail that saying there's no greater commandment than this, it was nothing new that he came up with or that Jesus talked about. For in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, God wanted Israel to love thy neighbor as themselves. It was nothing new, but they thought that just by making the offerings and not missing a sacrifice, they were going to be fine. As long as I don't go just blatantly away from God and serve Baal and do all these other things that the children of Israel did, never mind where my heart is, as long as it's fine and to the eye I'm fine, then it's okay. But it wasn't. And it cost them to fall over and over and over again. It cost them to be to the point on more than one occasion where the children of Israel that has seen so many great wonders from the Lord, they were sacrificing their children to these idols that they would come across. They just felt lower and lower and lower in their lives because they thought they could do it just by what it was written. But God was after what was in your heart. John 13:34, God gave us 10 commandments, and he says, let's throw another one in there because Israel didn't get it. Let me be clear about this. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and ye also love one another. So it wasn't nothing new, but God wanted to accentuate that if you claim to love me, if you do what I ask you to do, it should reflect in how you treat others. It should reflect how you think of others. It should always reflect that I'm able to work through you and not just you do what I said, there it is, that's what you asked me to do, I'm going to have some free time now. But having the Lord work through you at all times, being a conduit for the love of God. No greater commandment than this, that you love other people as well. Never mind if they're not nice to you. Never mind if they're not of the church. Because he's just saying love others. Nothing different than what he said to Israel. He said the same thing. You should love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Israel, their heart was a problem. For the church, the heart can be the problem as well. When we read in the scripture about the seed that was planted, if you notice, the seed was never the problem. The seed, there was nothing wrong with it. What happened was, where did the seed land? And that is the heart. Where did it land? In good soil? Did it land where there was a lot of rocks? Did it land where there was a lot of thorns? The seed wasn't the problem, but if the word of God is able to do anything in our lives, it's going to start in the heart because that word comes to our heart. So if our perception of love might be hindered, if our perception of, well, this is what love is, or our perception of what Hollywood tells us love, without knowing it, we start making it our own, we're going to have trouble serving the Lord. We really are. We have to allow God to work through us and to shape us and to, as he brought us out of Egypt and he told us, Israel, so many things, the end result that he wanted was love. And as he has pulled us away from our previous life that was away from him, the end result that he wants is love. It's no different. That's what God wants. Revelation and oneness and many other things are pillars of our faith and open up doors of great power in our lives. But the end result of the church and of Israel is God wanted their hearts. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of going out for the heart, not building churches, not picking up great offerings. It's after the heart. That's why Jesus said, you know, that woman, although she gave me pretty much, maybe less than a penny, she gave the most. He was looking at the heart. And he shows an example of what was Jesus after. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus." We're going to go as far as 19, Brother Mark. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by this, his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the heights, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God." With the fullness of God. If you're able to be rooted in love, you're going to have the fullness of God in your life. If love is, it can be an issue to your, in your life. If love, once again, just based off flashbacks to Egypt. If what you're being fed at times in school or work or television, if you, because of that, maybe you're not rooted in love, the fullness of God will not be able to be manifested through you. The width and all the words used to describe the fullness of God, it starts by being rooted in love. And many times we have to go back and define what love is in our lives. Many times we cannot go back to Egypt and say, well, this is the relationships I've had this far. This is probably what love is. This is what I keep on pointing out to Hollywood, because it just bombards us so much. The ads, everything. What we're told is love. It's not love. Let's look at a biblical description of love. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 7 and 8. As Christians, our definition of love, this is what God wants us to have as a definition of love. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another." And there it is again. Let's love one another. "For love is of God, and everyone that knoweth, that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love." For a Christian, the definition of love should be God is love. We shouldn't run to a dictionary to try to explain to somebody what love is. We shouldn't take back to what our perception of love has been thus far in our lives. We shouldn't go back into what somebody else said about love. The scripture tells us God is love. Let's jump to verse 16. We're going to go 16 through 18. "And we have known and believed the love that God had to us." God is love. There it is once again. God is love in the same chapter. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." If we sum up the life of Jesus, we could just come up with a four-letter word, love. His love was the one that, as he was going to the cross, he wasn't necessarily thinking, God is one, God is one. He was thinking on each one of our names, and that was his driving force, that yet the ones that are yelling, crucify him, are the ones that I just fed not long ago. Yeah. It was love. It wasn't, I'm one, I'm one. That's a great pillar, and that's the truth in our lives, and it's worth dying for. But In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks, what good is all that if I don't have love? What good is it if I give my body to be burned as sacrifice and I don't have love? So the life of Jesus is an example of love. And that's what God wants the definition of our lives to be. That's what God wants the definition of our lives to be by others. Why? Because we love others and we reflect that to others. I'm glad Sister Skinner is here today because I'm going to use her as an example. But she's a chaplain. And the first message that she gives, although her attire is holy, it's not God is one. She could be the have the longest skirt and many things, but it's love. Because she could be dressed in holiness and what could be said about her is not love. It's, oh, she gossips with the nurses. That's the chaplain that gossips with the nurses or something like that. But no, it's love. She won't just hear you. She will listen to you. You know, when she prays for me, I feel something different. But it starts with love. When they look into her eyes, when she talks and she allows the love of God to flow through her to those souls in need, to those people that are sick, perhaps terminal illness, it's the love of God that as she allows God to flow through that makes a difference. Yes, it's not having oneness. It's not having all the right verses. But it's the love, the care that she's able to show because God manifests through her. Absolutely. Some time ago, Pastor Schoonover, he talked about, hey, just drive by. Don't worry about it. I think I would hold a sign. I don't remember what freeway he said. But don't pay attention to me. Just keep driving. I'm going to be holding my sign. I don't remember the freeway once again. But that's not a statement of oneness. That's a statement of love. Of that deep love that comes with years, with spending time together with the Lord. Amen. It's not, once again, it's not oneness. And I'm not going against that. But it's a statement of love. That I don't care who's seen me. I don't care. I'm going to hold this sign here because it's right here. First of all, it's in my heart. Mm-hmm. And it's just a reflection. The word says that out of the heart, yes, sir, speaks the mouth. Right. What we find in here is going to make its way out outside somewhere, somehow. Yes. It shows. It says nothing under the sun is going to remain a secret forever. So what we have in our hearts, it's going to come out through actions. It's going to come out through words. It's going to come out. And in a Christian life, God wants it to come out because if it's not to his liking, God is offering a deal with that. God is offering that, you know, maybe I need to break you again and just make you whole in this area of your life. But that's we don't wait to heaven to sort out things with God. We don't make it to heaven and be like, well, okay, so this was the reason, God, why, you know, I just never quite made enough time. Right. We do that down here. There's a saying that says, you know, it's used a lot in sports. We play like we train. And God wants us that in our training life or earthly life, he wants us to address all these things. All these misconceptions about love, all these misconceptions about the last experiences we've had with what we thought it was love, what we were told it was love. God says, if there's confusion there, bring it to me. Bring it to me. But bring it now. We're not going to talk about it in the throne because we know that on Judgment Day, for some of us, it's going to be a throne of grace. Others, it's going to be a throne of judgment. And it talks about, the verse earlier says about having boldness in the day of judgment. Having boldness that there's no things that we need to talk about, God. There's no areas in my life that okay, now we're going to talk about it. And okay, I will let you into my life now in this area. God wants it all now. God is willing to help now. He wants us to be bold in the day of judgment that There's nothing holding me back, God. I'm ready to hop around this place and praise your name. Why? Because there's no unfinished business between us. There's no unfinished businesses between by in allowing you to live through me. There's no unfinished business. So why I have to tell you that? Well, you know, my prayer life wasn't the stellar one because, or I didn't, you know, you put this in me to display my love for you, but I didn't because it's all a matter of the heart, brothers and sisters. It really is. And if it's Israel's downfall, it can be our downfall as well. That if we offer to have prayer on Tuesdays and many other services and activities, whether we be able to make just one of them or whether we be able to make every single one of them, God wants our heart to be there first of all. God wants us to meditate in his word. And the scripture talks about that. It says how I meditate in your word day and night. It talks about the importance of the word. It says it's the lamp unto my feet. It shows me where I am. It shows me where the path is. It's a lamp unto my feet. It shows me where I am. I have to accept that many times I'm not going to be on the path. But that's why it's there. For his love for us, he wants us to acknowledge. That's why it talks about repentance. And go to the path. The marked path that the scripture has for us. Second, let's see here what we got. Okay, so 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. In matters of love, because by scripture we have seen that God is love, if anything can come of it, is by God. And it says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The Lord is the one that directs our hearts. The Lord is the one that puts the desire to serve him, but we have to act upon the desire he puts in us according to his will. We cannot go back to Egypt and say, well, this is how I'm going to love God. We have to allow God to love through us. We have to allow God to reshape and redesign and remake our definition of love. So we don't have no unfinished businesses and therefore perhaps have a hard time witnessing because we haven't settled our definition of love. What am I going to talk to you about? And at times we may find ourselves living up to, well, I told my coworkers I'm Christian, so I got to live up to this. But God wants us to settle our definition of love. God wants us to go nothing but him when it comes to love. And as we say, God is love, go ahead and flow through me, God. Shape me. Make me different. Bring glory to your name through me. And I will not hinder that. I will not stop part of that because I haven't let you into parts of my heart, into parts of my life. He says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. So it's something that God makes happen. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 57. Here, they were initiating the temple, and this was the prayer that Solomon was making. And he says, the Lord our God be with us. And he was with our, as he was with our fathers, let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. He wasn't just saying, God, help us obey you. He was saying, God, go ahead and lean my heart to you. It says, incline my heart to you. Why? Because just like in the New Testament, Old Testament, the man of God realized that it was a matter of the heart and that it starts with not us, but it starts with allowing God to go in there and incline our hearts to him. It starts with us allowing God that he's able to come in and direct our hearts to him. our prayer should be Psalms 51:10. If Egypt left us mark, if Egypt left us numb, if Egypt left us so many ways, in Psalms 51:10, our prayer should be, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God understands that many times we know God don't even fix that, because it's, I don't know if something good can come out of it, but you know what? Create in me a new heart. It requires that something that you thought didn't exist and that you knew it didn't exist, through God, it's created. Our Creator, He'll create a new heart for you. So once again, we cannot hold back and wait until Judgment Day or that great day and find out, are we bold or not on that day? Did I allow you? How's my relationship with you, Lord? It starts with love. It ends with love, for God is love. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9, here after Samuel spoke with Saul, he gave him and told him, hey, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go and you're going to meet some prophets, and you're going to prophesy among them, and they're going to tell you this. But after the word of God was said to Saul, he finds out and says, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. So God the Creator will give you a new heart. God the Creator will create out of the nothing, out of what you thought that it was the subject that perhaps you had down, or perhaps a subject that at times you don't want to know much about. God wants you to embrace love, for He is love. And He wants you to settle the love definition. That way He's able to flow through you without obstructions. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. That's King James, and it implies love. Everything that we do, it has to be with love. Charity, we're kind of associated with, you know, just leftovers. But it's love. The word that it implies there is love. You'll find it in the New King James and other versions. If we want to hold on to Colossians 3:17 and say, I got to do everything in the name of the Lord God, and we have to also embrace that everything has to be done with love. Everything has to be done with love. We cannot just have all the right verses. We cannot have everything down and be ready when asked, you know, to divide the scriptures. It says everything has to be done with love. And God, it's not after our visible actions so much as He's after our intentions. God is very after the intentions, because He was after the intentions of Israel. So much that when their heart went away from God, it was the downfall of Israel. And God rebuked Israel. He said, I'm not your God anymore. God says that. He says, I'm not your God anymore. It got to that point where it was a very breaking point. But it was all a matter of the heart all along. From the moment you left Egypt until I get you to Canaan and thereafter, it's a matter of love. I want you to settle your definition of love, and I want you to let me flow through you. We should be ready to divide the scriptures at any time. Yes, but keeping in mind that what we do is not to prove somebody wrong. Amen. Keeping in mind that what we say in our thriving energy should not be, I just want to be heard. It's got to be because love. And we got to find love in everything that we do in our lives. Because like I said, if you want to hold on to Colossians 3:17, it also says do all your things with love. So as we go through life, as we encounter and have to go head on with some things, may we always find some love in there. May we always find God in there, because God is love. That is the definition of love for the Christian life. May we always find love in there. Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not, and maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have to enjoy the power that the Holy Ghost can bring into our lives. We have to enjoy what the Holy Ghost can lead us into and everything. But we have to know that the same Holy Ghost, which there's only one Spirit, God is Spirit, it says, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And just as also as we hold on to the power of the Holy Ghost, may we be also able to hold on to that love that comes with that power. Because it's not optional. I don't just want to be used by God to, you know, cast out demons. And loving, it's going to be a touchy subject. I don't know God. No, it's the same Spirit. You have to allow the same Spirit to work through you at all times. Just like its power, it says, it's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So if we hold on to oneness, we got to hold on to love at all times. If we hold on to the power of the Holy Ghost, we got to hold on to that same love that comes with that same power of the Holy Ghost. You don't receive the Holy Ghost twice. It's all in once. Colossians 2:9, the fullness of who God was in Jesus. It was all right there. It wasn't no gradual thing. As human beings coming out of Egypt, God will shape us and he'll work through us. And yes, his love will be perfected in us. But it's the same Spirit. The Spirit does not choose what he gives some people in regards to power and Holy Ghost. It's all the same. It's just visible differently. But we all got the same Holy Ghost. We all got the same Spirit. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. I'm almost done here. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. Oh, that's good, brother. And here God talks to Israel. Here God talks to those men of God that said, God, incline my heart to you, direct my heart to you. And God says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart. Once again, it's a new heart. God wants to tear down what we thought maybe love was up until now in some areas of our lives, maybe altogether. And God wants to give you a new definition. He wants to be part of your definition of love. And he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. It starts with the love. It's not just I want you to do. It's I want you to be in your heart, and you will do it. It's just going to be natural. It's going to be an aftermath of my love impacting your life. It says, and cause you after the Spirit, once again, that Spirit brings love. It says, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. We're only able to live up to God's expectations, if you want to call it. We're only able to live up to God's expectation of Deuteronomy 6:5. You should love me with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. You're only able to do that as the Spirit comes in you. And then you're able to do it. Then you get a new heart. Then God will create a new heart. He'll do the impossible that you thought it was impossible. And he'll redefine you as a different being that is able to reflect the love of God. Proverbs 23:26. Just as we read, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thy heart and let thy eyes observe my ways. It's not just about observing the ways of God. It's not just about walking in the ways of God. God extends out his hand and says, give me your heart. This journey is only going to be possible if you give me your heart first. When it talks about observe my ways, it's talking about keeping my ways, about obeying what God expects from us. But God says, give me your heart. And we've already seen what God can do with that heart and how he can change it, how he can create a whole new one. Amen. But it starts with us allowing God into that areas of our lives that maybe he hasn't had a hold of yet, so we can have boldness in the day of judgment. That we have no, you know, the final test score. Did I make it or not? Did the teacher post the grades yet or not? It starts with being rooted in love. Rooted in love. God is love. It starts being rooted in God, knowing that we do all things in Jesus' name, and we got to do them all in love. That the same Spirit that gives us power is the same Spirit that we have to allow to love through us, because it was poured on us through his Spirit. And God calls us. He's not going to say these words in heaven. Once again, that's going to be judgment. That's going to be either grace or throne of judgment. And God now gives us the opportunity. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 to finish. The word of God is for now, for our walk with God now. We won't need the Bible in heaven. It's now that we need it. And he says, come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So God wants to change us now. God wants us to allow him that regardless of what we think that our shortcomings are, what our definition of love has been so far, that it's so far from what I'm hearing. God wants us to know that even if it's a scarlet, they're going to be a snow. Even if they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God wants to change us now. God wants to be allowed in now. Excuse me. And God wants to reshape us, make us daily in our lives. That just as we walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, just as we are thankful for the revelation of that it's not three, but it's manifestations, we have to allow the love of God in, because it starts and it ends with love, and Israel ended up being shortcoming because of a matter of the heart. And we can end up being shortcoming and not have boldness on that day because our heart wasn't right. We were not rooted in love. So let's allow God to daily love through us, shape us, redefine us every day. Allow him to many areas of our lives, because regardless of what it is, as dark as it may be and many emotions that we feel, he says, I'm going to change that. We just have to let him in, and he won't let us down. Praise God. Amen. Brother Johnson. Hallelujah.